Pull up a chair and join us at the table this week for another episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice, a tabletop role-playing podcast.
Welcome back to Paper, Pencil, Dice, the home where everything matters except for the points and the goal. Tony, take it away.
I'm not even sure how to take that one. All right, so let's go ahead and get started here. So when we last left off, what happened?
Oh, this is when the gnome decided to send some zaps at the control panel and, you know, started a big fight. What was it? Some like golem looking things attacked us, and we had to do.
No, that was a couple episodes ago.
No, this was the last.
No. So we'll pause Brian when he catches. Well, he listens to last week's episode.
Lear went back in time.
We learned about the.
It was the computer system.
We learned about the computer system and the yellow gem that or node that is powering the containment. We learned from Master Ganthus that he's very old.
Very old.
Even he doesn't know how old he is.
Yep.
And he may descend from a race of rabbits.
Could be.
Or so things hop anyway.
We learned that the location of another stone.
A scorpion gem.
Yeah. Scorpion gem.
We're guessing something really bad's going to happen if we don't get all four into this ship so we can use it as a containment mode for the big baddie downstairs. The chaos monster, whatever it is.
Yeah, we decided we needed to go to the city of Nishtun, mm-hmm. to the west. It's about a 3-day ride, 3 days out, 3 days back.
Yeah. Master Ganthus gave us the horse to help us out with that so we can travel a little bit faster.
And a bunch of money.
And he gave us,
a pile of cash.
500 platinum, which we found out while we were at the break is 5,000 gold. So we split up that 5,000 gold to 1,250 each, and
everyone's gonna go shopping. So between last game and this game, we all discussed what items people were interested in buying. So pretty much, I gave everyone their 1,250 gold. Now, first of all, we have our Tegan here with what has colloquially been referred to last game as Prime Day, but it's his bargain hunter ability, his skill feat that he took. So it allows him to make a diplomacy skill to get one item cheaper because he hunts around, spends hours going from shop to shop to shop to shop to shop to finally find it super cheap. So, Tegan, what item are you looking for?
So I am looking for a greater skeleton key, and it's going to allow our rogue to be able to use the Nox spell 1 hour a day. Your jeweler, sorry, yes, our jeweler.
Okay, so because that is a magic item, you are going to make it, it's going to be a more difficult check. So I'm going to have you make a skill check, and based upon your skill, your result, you either succeed or fail. If you fail, you don't reduce the price, but you may continue hunting. It just adds more time to your search.
Okay.
If you succeed, you will, because you're only trained in the skill, mm-hmm. there's a earned income chart, which, listeners, you can find in the core rulebook on page 236. You will be able to then search for it, or search for the reducing the price of the item.
Okay. All right. 19 plus 8 is 27.
27. So that is enough. Actually, that is not quite a critical success, but it's enough to get 40 gold knocked off of the price.
Sweet.
All right.
So the base price was how much?
1,250.
So it is now 1,210.
1,210, sweetness.
You have 40 gold back. So Tegan found you a discount. So, Hup, do you want to give us a quick description of what that item does?
Yep, so the Greater Skeleton Key allows me to get a +2 on a standard. It acts like improved thieves' tools. It gives me a +2 on lockpick checks, and once per hour I can use it to cast the knock spell.
Okay. And what does the knock spell do in second edition?
The knock spell, I believe, in second edition is allows me to unlock a standard lock without a check. But I'm going to check that right now.
All right. Well, we'll come back to you once you get a chance to look that up. So meanwhile, let's jump over to Aether and see what did you buy with your earnings.
Well, I was looking to pick up to see if I could get a +2 weapon potency falchion for my character. If I had any money left over, I was looking to pick up some +1 scale mail or +1 longsword.
So you already have scale mail, right?
Correct.
So you wouldn't need to buy new scale mail. You're just buying the rune to attach to it, right? Is that is that accurate, or do you need to find like an enchanter to it to attach the rune to it?
I'm not entirely certain how the rules of this system work, okay. So how that get placed on. I'm assuming that you need somebody to attach it, a craftsman of some sort.
Probably, yeah. Probably someone either with the arcane skill or something like that. Okay, so we'll come back to that. Meanwhile, Jethal, what did you choose?
I didn't buy anything.
Oh, you just pocketed the money?
For now.
That's not a bad decision. I mean, this seems like a very Jethal thing to do.
Hey, huh?
It's the idea.
Jethal's got some money.
No, Jethal had some money.
Touch my money.
Well, which is worse, touching your money or touching your necklace?
Both are bad.
All right, and lastly,
his hands just itch at the state of that sound.
I did look up the knock spell, and I think
it adds +4.
+4.
It adds +4 to the knock for my unlock.
So you get the +2,
or a +4 once per hour.
Is it? It would be an additional +4, I believe, because it's a status bonus.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so you would have the +2 from the equipment bonus of it being masterwork tools, and then another +4 once per hour.
Right.
To your thievery check. Perfect. That's very cool. All right. And last but not least is Tegan. He is shortest, so I guess there is a least
to there it. There is a least to that.
Tegan, what did you choose for your item?
I had an amulet of fireball, but then I lost the place of where it was. It allows me to cast fireballs, and I was going to tell you what that was.
Really?
I had a necklace of fireballs, but then I lost it.
Yeah, lost it, basically.
Whoa, that's 100,000 gold. I lost where it was at.
You know, that's one of the things. A necklace of fireballs is not something you want to misplace.
I'll find it here in a little bit.
All right, that's fine. We can come back to you. So it sounds like they're going to look up the items, but we will go ahead and move on with the game. So sounds like everybody other than Jethal has purchased something. The shopping trip, by the way, just so our listeners know, generally as Dungeon Master, I tend to be fairly generous with items, mostly because unlike standard play, I don't run a lot of combats repeatedly back-to-back, so I typically will award... generally add some role-playing moment equipment to the group. It tends to work out better that way narratively, as opposed to them... it doesn't honestly make a lot of sense to have the party rifling through everyone's pockets after every combat, because that just slows down the pace of the game. So
I find my greater skeleton key very narratively satisfying.
There you go.
Oh, here it is. Necklace of Fireballs. So what it allows me to do is it gives me 1, 2, 3 fireballs.
Okay.
And so...
They're one use only, I believe, right?
Yeah, they're only one use only.
So
I'll probably buy a couple of them. So this level type 3 is 300 gold. Okay. So I'll buy 3 of them. So that'll be 900 gold. And so there's 3 of them. So one is 10d6. 2 are 10d8 and 2 are...
No, 8d6.
86 and 2 are 66. Okay. So I'll get 3 sets of those. So I'll have a total of...
That's a lot of fireballs.
Yeah. So that's 5 times 3. So I'll have 15 fireballs.
All right. I mean, those are really powerful now. Later on, they'll probably start slowing down as far as power. But that's... I mean, they're one use, so there's a downside. They're a consumable item. On the other side, it's a lot of damage all at once. So...
Yeah.
I mean... And also, the group right now, I don't believe, has a whole lot of area of effect attack, so that's helpful, too. So.
Yeah.
Great. So, anything else you guys want to take care of before you begin taking off on your journey towards...
I mean, we need probably supplies like food and water and things of that nature so we can get...
That's fair.
Get on the way. The horse that we have... Mm-hmm. Is it just a standard horse, or does it have additional speed? Does it allow...
It's a magically generated horse by the necklace, but it does not have any additional properties beyond that of a mundane horse.
How much does a horse cost?
That is an excellent question.
So you're going to sell the horse, it's going to disappear, and then... The person's going to be like, where's that
rope? Genius.
No.
We just put like a fishing line on it.
Disappears in half an hour after you sell him the horse. That's horrible.
In a genius sort of way. That's evil genius.
Yeah, so these are very obviously they're like spectral horses when you generate them, and if they're generated with the person, so if you separate it from the person it's generated for, it might not stick around for very long.
Sure, sure. No, I'm just wondering, like if we'd have it for half a day, but it might be nice to have additional horses for carrying equipment or things of that nature, right?
I mean, like, honestly, horses, they're not bad at carrying equipment. If you want to carry equipment, a donkey is the way to go. Donkeys right. can carry a lot of equipment. They just can't move as fast.
Right. Well, I'm just thinking if we had more horses, maybe we'd have a faster travel time.
Potentially. It is. Riding on a horse is exhausting. So, I mean, you could. It's up to you on how you want to do it. If you're just using them as riding animals, you can probably make pretty decent time with the magic ones.
Sure. Okay.
But yes, you probably would be slightly faster if you got mundane horses and pushed them harder.
Right.
Okay. I mean, it looks like, renting a riding horse is 1 silver piece a day or 8 gold pieces to buy it.
Oh, I'm buying a horse.
War horses
His name will be...
30 gold pieces to purchase and 1 gold piece per day to rent.
So it's whether you want a horse that's trained to be willing to go into battle, because the difference between a war horse and a horse is just there to ride, but as soon as like people start shooting arrows at you or swinging swords at you, that horse wants to get the heck out of there.
Sure. So do I. That works out really well. Sorry, guys. My horse is taking me away. I think
a war pony might.
A war pony? I like a war hog. That's right. I need a war hog.
Yes.
All right. So you have the magically generated horses that if you want to generate one for each of the four of you, you can do that for 6 hours a day.
Yep.
Or you could do that. You could do the
two.
You could just spend 32 gold and buy one horse for each of you, of just normal mundane horses.
Yep.
And probably make relatively similar time. The only downside is you're gonna have to find a place to stable your horses when you get there and things like that too. So.
Which one do I do? I don't care either way. I don't care either way.
I'm gonna get a horse.
I'm good with the magical horse.
Yeah, so am I.
Yep, that's cool.
All right, so you're getting a horse.
So we have two magical horses, yes?
Well, we can
make as many as we want. They just don't last as long.
Don't last as long. So the question is, do you want a horse to carry your gear and stable and all that stuff?
No, I'll just use the magical horse for now. Might find something in the next city.
Yep, okay. So you guys have horses for 8 hours, and I have one for ever.
Until a mountain lion eats it.
Okay, so you get a horse. Do you name your horse?
Yes.
What did you name your horse?
Fred.
Fred the horse. All right. So we have Fred the horse.
It's a Rodney Carrington joke.
It's a what?
Rodney Carrington joke.
I don't even know who Rodney Carrington
is. Oh, my Lord.
So.
Rodney, if you're listening to this, you should totally come on the show. If any of our listeners know Rodney Carrington, let us know.
So, the rest of you, who activates the...
Statue?
The statue.
I do.
Okay.
So you got it. What? Yeah, you've got it.
Yeah. So you activate the statue, and you gain the ability. You have the ability to kind of commune with it for a moment, and you will it to create three horses.
It's like an amoeba.
Raising kind of three.
Well, technically, I can ride with someone else, and the horse would be fine.
Okay, I ride by myself.
I ride by myself.
All right, we're creating three horses then.
Okay, so
I've never seen a horse carry an ass.
Well played.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Mark.
Right. I didn't say which one I was talking about.
You waited until I said something. I knew who you were talking about.
All right, so you you see kind of walking out of the mists nearby, three horses. One is red with white spots on it. They all have this sort of blue, eerie glow to them. There's another one that's darker brown, and the last one is a black horse. The three walk together out of the mist and stand, seeming to wait for you.
I'll take the first one, the red one.
The what one?
Was it red, the first one?
They're brown with white spots. It's not all brown and black.
Take the spotted one.
Okay.
What's its name?
It's magical. It doesn't need a name.
Okay.
You guys want to grab the other two? That's a long
name. So we have Fred, it's magical, doesn't need a name. No, I'm just joking. Yes. So which one would you like to take? Jethal?
Doesn't matter.
Jethal doesn't care. And Aether, which one would you like?
I'll take the brown one.
The brown one. So so Jethal gets the black one.
Excellent. It's what I wanted on the way.
And you guys ride off out of town.
I'm going to pale horse. My horse would be pale.
Too bad it had... Otherwise, it could be a horse with no name.
It's Fred.
So you ride out of town, and you make it pretty well a solid day, an 8-hour trip. You have about 2 more days left, and it's very uneventful.
Excellent.
Do you guys set up camp?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yep. You guys set camp up and, you know, start a nice roaring campfire, and sitting around it, as you're kind of setting up and probably making some food for the evening and stuff like that, you hear footsteps coming from the distance.
What kind of footsteps and what direction?
They are coming from the south.
Like shaking the tree type footsteps?
No. Like, it sounds like a person roughly medium sized casually walking.
Okay. Can I sneak into... Are we in the wooded area? Is it... More.
It's sort of like wooded plains, so there's not like densely packed trees, but there are trees around, so you could easily hide in or behind one. Otherwise, it's mostly grasses and sort of a animal created path, like a deer path or something like that.
So I'm going to use my stealth and see if I can kind of scope it out a little bit.
Okay.
I'm going to try to roll a one. Yeah. See, I should try to roll ones because I rolled a natural 8. I rolled an 18 and my stealth is another 7 to 25.
Okay. So you go off and stealth.
Yep. What do I find? What do I hear? I'm going to ready my sap.
All right. Well... You go off and you hide off to the side, looking around, and so you see a man, an older, rugged guy. He has a gray beard, gray long hair, is wearing studded leather armor, carries a bow on his back and one sword on his side. Just based on your initial reaction, he seems like he's probably a tracker or a ranger or something along those lines.
Does he seem, as I kind of watch him, does it seem like he's trying to track us?
You would guess that he's probably located you.
But I mean, it looks like he's trying to find us. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. How far away from camp is this happening?
You're probably maybe 100 yards outside of camp, so he's actively walking towards your camp.
And he's not trying to do it stealthily at all.
He looks like he probably could, but he appears to not be.
Okay. Well, I'm going to follow him back towards the camp.
Okay, go ahead and give me another stealth check.
Come on, one.
Closer.
What'd you roll? That is a 12. I rolled a 4. It's a total of a 12.
Okay, so you leap down out of the tree you were hiding in.
I thought it was just on the side of the road. I didn't think
the grass. You were just standing there going like, I'm a shrub.
In the grass, kind of, the tall grass.
Okay, so you get up out of the grass. You step into like an area where there was a little bit of water for a moment and make a splash and then kind of stand still. Thinking that you just revealed yourself, and he doesn't appear to turn his head at all.
Okay.
He continues walking forward, and as he walks just past your place, he just sort of makes a short hand gesture. He goes, "You coming with, or you staying there?"
Needed a bath.
He just kind of seems to shrug and keep walking.
So I'll probably tell. He can smell you.
Right. I'll follow along with him. I'm going to make it look like I meant to do that. And kind of follow, you know, I'm going to introduce myself. And I'm going to say, what's your name?
Well, there are those that call me Belatius.
So what should I call you?
Belatius.
Okay.
I am a ranger of these parts. I generally tend to guard the wildlife and just watch over these lands. But you all seem noble folk, and I figured it's nice to sit down and enjoy a meal and a drink with friends as opposed to sit by yourself. So,
can I see if he's kind of being honest or truthful with me there?
Sure. Go ahead and give me a perception check.
Come on, one. 20 modified, 14 plus 6.
Okay. He appears to be honest, or at least, you know, earnest in what he's saying.
I'm suspicious.
Well, of course you are. That's why you rolled a sense motive check.
Okay. So, yeah, we're just traveling to the west to the city of Nishtun, isn't it? Nishtun? Yep, yes. We're headed to Nishtun. Yes,
Nishtun. Ah, Nishtun. Well, you're still got a couple of days travel from here, but what brings you to that waste of space?
My sister was headed there. I haven't heard from her for a while.
Well, she left there. If she went there, did she go? Was she taken there, or did she go there of her own free will?
She said she had some problem she had to go take care of, and the only place she could take care of that was in Nishtun.
Really?
That's what she said, but you know how they lie.
What did you say your name was again?
I didn't.
What is your name?
Hup Bottomsworth.
Hup. What is your profession?
I'm a jeweler.
Kind of gets squinty eyes, looks at you and goes, odd place for a jeweler to be here out in the country.
Well, as I said, we're traveling from Incanavis to the city of Nishtun to look for my sister.
What kind of business does a jeweler have in Nishtun?
To find my sister.
What does your sister do?
Various things, mostly Uber driver, that type of thing.
So she's a really good driver.
Very good driver. You know, it's the new economy stuff is really what she's into.
This is called Mark couldn't think of anything.
It's all new economy stuff. It's gig work mostly.
Sure, she's not there for EpiPens.
EpiPen. She's an EpiPen salesperson.
Oh wow! All
nice right. Callback. I like there it. I mean, yeah, she's an EpiPen salesperson.
Wow.
All I guess right. So at this point, are they at camp?
Yeah, they walk into camp at this point in time, and He goes, so, you are Hup's friends, I believe?
Acquaintance.
Acquaintance. Okay, well.
Steve?
If you want to see an ass ride a horse.
Tegan Stumbleduck, at your service.
Tegan, what do you do?
Me? I just enjoy just looking for rare objects. I like finding rare stuff.
Treasure hunter.
Of sorts. Not necessarily keep for myself, but more just looking for the find.
So that's what brings you to Nishtune?
Yeah, Nishtune.
Seeking treasure?
Yeah. Yeah, our jeweler likes gems, so we'll go look for a gem.
There are much safer places to look. I'm certain there are great gems to find in Nishtune, but it's definitely not the safest of places.
So. Because of the Dread Crowns?
Yes, because they rule that area.
Do you know anything about them so that we can either avoid them or at least go into the city without any trouble?
Yes, I know a bit about them. I mean, not a lot, but they are very publicly run by Alina Two Swords.
Is that like Lord Two Sons, Two Swords relative of some sort?
Well, she's part of the Two Swords dynasty, yes.
Alina?
Alina.
Huh. But there was a Lord Two Swords.
Yeah, they're all Lord Two Swords.
Is one of her legs longer than the other?
Alina, nice.
Nice. To the left or the right?
Dear listeners, please save me before my players break me.
I lean it to the left. I lean it to the right.
So Alina Two Swords runs the.
All right.
We're going to have to cut this part out.
No, we don't. I don't like to edit if we don't have to.
So she's running the Dread Crowns. Is there any way to, like, either appease them or stay under the radar so they don't come after us? I mean, when they run it, are they just going to, like, try to rob us? How does it work?
There's three ways to get something out of the Dread Crowns.
Okay.
First, is to buy it from them.
Okay.
The second is to earn it from them. And the third, and the most dangerous, is to steal it from them.
Hmm. Does earning from the Dread Crowns always mean, like, assassinations and killing and unlawful type stuff?
It can. It can also mean impressing them.
Okay. Have you ever impressed them or heard of somebody impressing them?
I've heard legends of people who have been able to impress them, though some of them even end up joining them. But
okay.
I hear far more stories of those who go in, make fools of themselves, and find their heads on pikes.
Yep. Can't imagine that would ever happen.
What kind of idiot would be like that?
And those pikes lean a little bit to the left.
To the right. Well, come on. Share, warm yourself by our fire, share some ale. We'll talk of some other stories too.
Certainly. I like stories. So.
Grab him a pint and grab him some food.
Speaking of stories, that's typically one of the things I enjoy sharing most. So, you were speaking of the Dread Crown, so I can tell you a story of them. So, there was a man I once knew named Gerald the Stout. He traveled there wanting to sell his wares to the Dread Crowns. Upon arrival, he was able to successfully sell his wares to them. But as he found out, that nothing ever comes easy when working with the Dread Crowns.
Okay.
He found before he left town that He owed them back a tithe of the amount that they paid him before he was permitted to leave. Mm-hmm. He simply chose to leave anyway and lived a fairly mild life after that. But shortly thereafter, within the next year, he found
both of his children and his wife's heads laid upon his doorstep upon returning back from another travel venue. And another request pinned to the wall with a dagger asking for the tithe. And fortunately, Gerald went off and left, going somewhere else in his sadness, and I knew not where he went from there, but that's unfortunately a story that's all too common when dealing with the Dread Crowns.
Hmm. What was his name?
Gerald the Stout.
Are there any magicians or sorcerers in the town, just where I could learn some magic traits or probably learn some new magic?
There are a number of magicians in the town.
Are they all owned by the Dreads, or...?
Not everything is owned by the Dread Crowns, but everything at least pays money or homage or something to the Dread Crowns. The Dread Crowns own the city, and even if they don't own the people, everyone living there owes something to them.
Okay. So is there a magical conclave or someone of note of magical repute?
Honestly, I don't study the magical arts very much, so I don't know.
Okay.
I know that there are magic users there, a wide variety of types, but I do not know which ones specific people to seek out.
Okay.
But I do know that the largest repository of magical knowledge there is in the possession and in the vaults of the Dread Crowns.
Okay. The, what about any other notable guilds or anything, either that are not under control of the Dread Crowns or able to act autonomously from the Dread Crowns?
The Dread Crowns have ruled Nishtun for probably decades at this point. So any rival guilds, typically, if they are publicly known, they don't exist for long.
Okay.
So there are likely usually upstarts that exist within Nishtun or surrounding areas that are trying to make a name for themselves and quickly get stomped out, or those who do it in secret. And but I've never heard of one of those that has succeeded in even making a dent in the Dread Crown's rule.
Okay.
It's much easier just to join them.
Hmm.
It's also why I stay out here, and I prefer the wildlife too.
Fair enough. Well, you share a good story and a good ale. Do you want to stay here in the camp with us, or are you going to be on your way?
Well, I told you a story. What about one of you tell me a story from one of your adventures?
I'm afraid we don't have that many good stories. Simple jeweler myself.
My village has a story about a group of adventurers who were trying to save the world, but really messed up. They were trying to find a way into a tower of some sort to save the town or something, and they really messed it up. They started off trying to find a button of some sort in this tower, and there was four of them. One of them distracted the guard and was talking to the guard. Then the other three were going to climb a rope. The first one made it up just fine because it couldn't find a way into this tower. It was magical in nature. Something about a sky bridge or sky road or something like that. Rainbow Road. Second adventurer tried to get up, got about two-thirds of the way up and fell flat on his face. The adventurer who was trying to keep the guard occupied couldn't really keep a straight face and had to cough in his beer and pretend like he was choking to keep his guard friend from turning around and alerting the authorities. So the second adventurer tried one more time to get up the rope. It fell again unconscious and got dragged away by his companions. And then something happened with the first adventurer that broke the world and chaos ensued.
So what is the moral of this story?
Moral of this story is never climb a rope if you don't have the strength.
Because you'll break the world?
Because you'll break the world.
Or your tuchus.
Yes. Or your backside. Your coccyx.
That is a wise lesson. If you are unable to do something, you should make sure that you should try, or you should understand your limits before you simply try to exceed them. So that's a good lesson.
Or have good people around you to drag you by your feet.
Right.
Very well. Well, he toasts to you and says, I appreciate the warm fire and I appreciate the food and drink. And I will leave you on your way.
Okay.
So he kind of wanders off, huh?
Yeah, he just kind of stands up and just wanders away.
Okay. Do we trust that he's just going to wander away, or do we need to kind of...
No. I get a good vibe from him.
Yeah, I don't trust him either.
I think we should just get a nice sleep and start in the morning, Hub.
Okay, so we'll take our long rest. So everybody goes back to maximum hit points.
Yep. Everyone goes back to one hero point. They heal back to maximum hit points. And I believe some of you have also actions or feats that you have to make choices when you do a long rest. I know you do, Aether. Does anyone else? Okay, Aether, what do you choose for yours?
Aether will choose, with this ancestral longevity, I get to choose a skill. So let's choose, stealth today.
All right.
I think Hup gets to choose whether he goes up a level or not, but he chooses not to this time.
Good decision. The DM also gets to choose whether or not a Monty Python-esque foot comes from the sky, too. He chooses not to.
So we get up the next day, and do we make it to town that day, or?
We still it'd
be one
days.
More day.
Oh, 2 days out, yeah.
So, you guys await the next day.
Yep.
And continue on.
Okay.
Same three of you on spectral horses, and one of you on Fred.
Pale horse, yep. The pale horse Fred, named Fred.
Fred the pale horse.
Okay.
Pale Fred.
Yep.
All right, so you continue on, and again, it's surprisingly, the roads are very clear. I mean, occasionally you see like a bird flying overhead or deer grazing in the...
There's no mercantile traffic or nothing?
Not much, no.
Can we check to see if there's been any merchants this way or anything?
Sure. Go ahead and give me a perception check.
Okay.
Come on, one.
Natural 20.
Nice.
All right. With that,
whatever your bonus.
So what's your bonus, and then don't forget the plus 10 from the natural 20.
So my bonus is 4 plus 10, so 34. 34.
All right. So with 34, yeah, you can tell that there is mercantile traffic that goes along these paths. There's, you know, you see the ruts. Okay. In there, and actually with that skill check you can actually tell that there was one that came through about probably 5 days ago. Okay. Going towards Nishtun.
Okay.
They're Michelin type wooden wheels.
Very, very nice quality.
Very nice quality, right.
Got the rain guard and everything. Nice. That's awesome. So there's no worry that this is out of the ordinary or that, you know, someone's following.
I mean, it's your speculation based on what you've seen. You're not well versed in these trade routes at all, but your speculation is probably that trade doesn't come through daily, but likely there's probably caravans maybe once a week in these directions.
So nothing's up or nothing's wrong. Okay.
Nothing sets off any alarms in your head.
Okay.
Well, I can tell you, as being a guard for several caravans, this is an area that they don't travel to very often. So it's not too surprising because of the Nishtun's reputation. People don't exactly like to go there.
Okay. Do we have a plan of how we're going to find the gem? I mean, we don't have a locating device or anything. We can't just ask around. So what are we going to do?
I say we ask around.
Ask around for a red gem or something? I'm guessing it's real. I don't know.
This gem tends to attract attention. So it would probably not be hidden so much as used.
I see. Okay. We could say we're looking for Gerald Nishtok.
Gerard Nishtok. The Ranger? No, who's Gerard?
The Ranger's friend.
Gerald the Stout?
Gerald the Stout. That's what I said.
That is nowhere near what you said.
I'm like, what?
Everyone knew what I meant.
You're talking about Gerard the style. Okay.
I think you may have had a bit too much to drink around. You're like, Gerard.
Gerard the stock. Right?
I don't think
the stout, dude.
I don't believe we should bring up that name.
Yeah, isn't he the one that...
He's the one that owes the guild lots of money. Yeah.
Right, he owes us money too, right?
Yes, 500 platinum.
Possibly. Might be a risky choice.
Oh, fair enough.
So what's our plan? How are we going to find the jewel then? I was thinking maybe talking to a magic user and see if they can
get
I'm
a jeweler. Maybe we could go to some jewelry stores and just say, hey, we're looking for some unique stones. We've heard a rumor of this scorpion gem.
Okay.
Have you heard anything about this?
Okay, that's fine.
Rumors. We just heard rumors on the... We heard a ranger talking about it on the road.
Rumors on the road.
Okay. All right.
We just described the ranger and what he looked like and... Teddy told us a story about a friend of his that told him about this stone. It seems interesting, and as a jeweler, I have some passing interest in it.
Okay. Cool. Let's go find a jeweler then.
All right. So it sounds like you guys have come up with a plan as far as how you're going to do it while you're traveling along the road.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get there.
As you crest another hill, you see what actually looks like a traveling caravan. Although it does appear to be crashed. Like, it seems that it gets damaged. And there is a woman and a man standing next to it.
Does it look like my sister?
Does not look like your sister.
Okay.
And it appears that one of the wheels has broken off of the wagon, and the guy is trying to fix it or pick it up out of the mud that it's in. And the girl appears to be sitting on a rock, and it's hard to tell at this distance if she's crying, if she's trying to tell him instructions, but she doesn't seem to be happy about the current situation.
So when you say a caravan, it's like multiple carriages or just the one carriage?
No, it's just one covered vehicle, and there does not appear to be any animals nearby that would have been carrying it, so it's possible.
Are we within a plain-type area or like a forested area, mountainous?
You are in a sort of a... you're in a, more of a plains, but there are like trees, probably oak, that are dotting the landscape, so it's not you're not devoid of trees, but trees are probably several hundred yards apart from one another.
Okay.
Very large trees, but far apart.
I'm thinking about an ambush, what could be possibly nearby that somebody could be hiding behind, or like a hill that could be hiding behind or something.
Yep, I was going to stealth along while these guys kind of approached.
I was just going to do like a perception check to see stealth if I noticed anything out of sorts.
Sure.
Stealth on Fred, yeah.
Fred stealths?
Yeah. He like gets down and like creeps.
How about a 24?
24. So with a 24, it looks like a prime ambush spot, honestly. It's you're not really sure if that's what it is, but if you were going to stage an ambush, this is a good place to stage it. One other thing you happen to notice with the 24 additionally is the guy who appears to be working on the wagon wheel doesn't really seem to be doing a good job at it. Possibly intentionally so.
Okay.
Alright, so you tell the rest of us?
Yeah.
It's up to you what you want to tell the group.
I'll tell the group. I'm not sure this situation is what it appears. I would approach carefully.
So should only one of us approach and the rest stealth, or should only two of us approach and the rest stealth? Maybe one on each side?
I can approach, and you guys can stay hidden somewhere fairly close, if that works.
Okay. So who is staying hidden?
I'll stay hidden.
I'll stay hidden.
I'll approach with him.
Okay. So two hiding and two approaching. So those of you who are hiding, please give me a stealth check.
Come on, one.
Yeah. Started using, didn't even ask your permission. 17 modified.
17 modified and...
25 modified.
25 modified. Okay, so the two of you guys go off and kind of hide in flanking positions on either side, while Jethal and Aether walk up towards this broken-down caravan wagon.
I'm still riding my horse.
Oh, well, yeah. Assuming you're both riding up on your spectral horses.
I will dismount.
Nothing
before.
Strange about that.
Nothing strange about that.
You're I'm good. Going to dismount before I reach them completely. I want to give some space in case I need to draw my weapon. I'm not mounted trying to
get off the horse, yeah.
I'm still on my horse.
Yes. Balls here.
Okay, so what they see is someone who's dressed like a wizard... riding a spectral horse with a soldier by his side.
Yep.
And the woman says, "Thank goodness help is here." She like slaps the guy next to him. He goes, "You idiot! You can't fix anything." He looks at her like he's about to hit her back, and then like nods at her. Goes, "Oh yeah, I'm sorry," and then walks away. And he like stands back. And "She goes, do you guys know how to fix a wagon wheel at all?"
On rare occasions, I've worked on caravan wheels, but in general, my job was to guard them.
I mean, I understand, but I mean, you look like you've got a good strong set of hands. Could you at least hold it up while my husband here tries to reattach the wheel?
Not today. We have to get going to town. Do you guys know how far away from town we are from Nishtun?
From Nishtun? Well, you're probably about a little over a day's travel from here, but, I mean, we're stuck out here in the middle of nowhere.
Well, that is unfortunate.
Are you that heartless?
Come now, Aether, we need to go.
I am unfortunately beholden to my master over here, and I'm to guard. And if he says that we need to leave, I unfortunately have to go. So I can certainly alert anybody in town if and have them send help if you know of anybody that needs to be contacted.
Well, I appreciate that. Oh, and I do have one more thing to say really quick. Get them. And so at this point, you guys need to roll initiative. All four of you.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm. All right, let me add everybody here to...
Thankfully, I'm hiding.
Ranged weapons. do you do your strength modifier, or can you add your dexterity modifier like you do in... It's just strength modifier, right?
Okay, can you repeat the question?
Yep, for ranged weapons, like a short bow.
Dexterity.
Dexterity for weapon modifier.
Like what damage modifier? Damage modifier. There is no bonus to damage.
There's no... Well,
it's just the dice.
It's whatever your weapon would give you.
Yeah, so if you have bonuses, the weapon gives its own bonuses. You would add those, but there's no...
Thrown weapon gets to do...
Thrown strength. Weapons, yes, are strength.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
So, I'm going to put... so I know that there's no path on this map, but I'm just putting these folks out here.
So while he's doing that, for our listeners at home, we're actually using Roll20. We've talked a little bit about this. This is gives us the ability to look at the characters and the enemies on a map. Right now, the map he's showing is kind of a bushy, a little bit muddy trails. He's got the four of us spread out on the map on the bottom half of it. Two of them are close together and two of them are further apart. The two further apart is probably the ones hiding. The two closer together are probably ones facing the wagon, talking to the lady in trouble and her husband. So what Tony's doing is he's setting up the map, and this gives us an idea of what we're going to do. As he places each one of them, sometimes they come up pretty large, and he's got to fix them. At the same time, he gets to put on D20 for those of you who used it. What the initiative order is, he also gets to show sometimes the roles of what the enemies are doing or what the NPCs are doing.
Yep. So okay. So everyone who rolled initiative, can you go ahead and give me your initiatives, please?
Aether is 7.
Okay.
Jethal is 16.
Okay.
So what happens if you roll a 1 on initiative?
You get a negative 10.
All right. So
I thought we already determined that they don't get a negative
1. Oh, that's right. You don't get a negative. Yeah, you don't get the plus 10 or the negative 10. Right. You're correct.
You just add your.
You're just your base. Modifier. Your base initiative or your.
All right. 5 or, modified.
All right. So Aether, you are 7.
And technically, you're stealthing, so if your stealth is better...
Yeah, you would actually use your stealth bonus, not your perception. Oh, you have the choice of stealth or perception. You have the choice,
right?
Yes, correct.
So you can add your 7 instead.
Only if you were declaring that you were stealth before the combat initiated.
Which I did.
Which he was. Just all, what was yours again?
16.
16. And then...
So you technically have an
8. Oh, sweet.
So you have an 8, which is much better than 5. Yep. And last but not least is Hup.
17 modified.
17. All right. And then we have the other two. And they are going on 19.
Oh, they get to go first.
And 18.
Well then. They both get to go first.
Really? Yeah. Oh, nuts.
And let's see here. So, as the combat is about to begin, so the big guy who had stepped back, like pulls a knife out from behind his back. She pulls two daggers out from the sides, and last but not least, an arrow lands right on the ground next to Jethal. And he notices that there's probably an archer somewhere nearby that he has not spotted yet. But we're running. This episode's starting to run a little bit long, so we're not going to start the combat this episode. So we're going to start this combat next episode.
Oh no!
Ah, so close.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Paper Pencil Dice. Come check us out on our website, paperpencildice.com, or come visit us on Facebook. Leave us any feedback or questions you might have. Join us next time to see where our heroes end up on Paper Pencil Dice.